Are you an EMDR therapist and parent who wants to make more money, have more time with your family, and get better results with your clients? Welcome to the Future Template Parent Podcast. I'm your host, Carolyn Solo, LCSW, EMDR consultant, business coach, and mom of three kids under seven. I realized that the grind of weekly sessions was taking a massive toll on my ability to be the kind of parent and therapist I wanted to be. So I dove headfirst into learning about intensives. I read all the books and articles and did all the trainings. Now I've transformed my schedule, my income, and my clinical outcomes by offering intensive EMDR in my practice. I want to teach you how to do this too, so you can build a practice you love and spend more quality time with your family. Let's create the future template for your life as a parent and as a therapist.
Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 38 of the Future Template Parent Podcast. I'm Carolyn Solo, your host, LCSW, EMDR therapist, and mom of three daughters. Thanks, as always, for joining me. Today's episode is all about confronting head-on one of the mindset traps that can keep therapists from switching to offering EMDR intensives. This is something that I have heard a lot from coaching clients and other therapists I've talked to about intensives. Therapists are often intrigued, as they should be, and excited, as they should be, about the financial and time freedom that intensives can offer. But they're worried they won't be able to convert enough current clients to intensives, and fear that they will lose clients and not be able to make up the income loss with new intensives clients. Wonder if that sounds familiar to anyone. So first of all, let's talk about what's actually going on, what this mindset block is actually about, because I think there's stuff underneath this fear. And, you know, it's not really about intensives so much, that's going to be what makes them leave. And then I'm going to talk a little bit about how I switched and how it went. And that, you know, just in general, I don't think this fear should hold you back. So I hope this episode will help you feel a little bit less fearful. So what's really happening when a therapist tells me, I'm afraid of switching to intensives because I'm afraid I'm going to lose clients? I think what's actually happening is that therapists are afraid of several things. Number one, about having hard conversations with clients about their practice changing, right? Like, we fear change. Lots of us fear change. No matter how much we've handled change, it's always scary. Yeah, you guys know, if you've listened to earlier episodes, that I'm moving my family this summer to Vermont, many states away, and I'm very excited, and I'm scared, right? There's a part of me that feels a sense of dread at times when I think about it, because there's so much that I have to do, there's so much that's going to be different, you know, all that stuff, right? What can be even scarier is telling people how our change will affect them, right? Like, it's been really hard for me to tell, you know, any current clients I have that I'm continuing with, or that I've seen hourly, that I'm leaving and that I have to terminate with them. Like, that's hard, but I've done it because that's what I need to do. And I have been doing that. I've done that with all my clients already, actually. I'm moving in July and it's the beginning of February, but you know, I've had those conversations and they're hard, but I survived them and so did my clients. But yeah, it's hard when our change affects other people, and it always does to some degree, unless we're just like changing our socks or whatever. It can feel really hard to put ourselves first as business owners, right? You know, especially when our business model, our service, therapy, is intended to help people live better lives. And we're like, oh no, are we making a change that might make things harder or even just different for our clients? Ah, ew, scary. I don't want to have that conversation, says the therapist. And maybe what the therapist is actually saying is, I'm afraid of change. I'm afraid of what it takes to change. And then we're projecting that fear onto our clients, right? We're struggling to do what would be best for ourselves and our businesses because we're afraid of change. We don't think we have the right to do that, right? We're helpers. We don't make anybody uncomfortable, right? That's not what we're supposed to do. Well, honestly, therapist, in grad school, I know we all learned that helping our clients navigate discomfort is one of our primary roles, right? I teach clinical social work students, and we talk about this, how tolerating discomfort with our clients and having our clients learn how to do that is one of our most important roles, right? Transference and countertransference are natural, and they're essential parts of the therapy process, right? Protecting our clients and ourselves from ever feeling anything difficult in the relationship is actually not good therapy, I don't think, because it's not a real relationship. And therapy needs to be a real relationship, a boundaried one, not a friendship, but a real relationship with authenticity to be healing, right? And when we put ourselves first, our well-being and our business's well-being first, we're modeling for our clients what we want them to do in their own lives, right? We want them to make the tough choices and do the difficult thing, right? And you know what? It's okay if a client is not happy. It's okay if they don't like that your business is changing, right? You're still allowed to do it. And, you know, this is not the first time or the last time that you have made changes in your practice or that you will make changes in your practice, right? If you've gone off insurance, if you've raised your fee in private practice, those changes may have been hard to tell clients about, but you did it and you survived and they survived, right? Tolerating discomfort is so important. Like I said, like we have to model it. We have to, you know, help our clients be able to do it. You know, and maybe when some of those things happen, maybe when you went off insurance, you changed your fee, whatever, you moved offices to a different location, you know, maybe some of your clients did leave, but their world didn't crash down, their world didn't fall apart. What's worse than not making a change that really you need to make for yourself to be a good therapist, to be a good person in the world? Keeping a practice model that doesn't work for you is worse, because then you start to resent your work and your clients. That's when you're actually being the you word. Yep, I said it. Unethical, right? It's unethical to keep a practice in which you're not serving your clients, when you're not taking care of yourself enough to show up for them in the way that they deserve. That is unethical, okay? So, you know, fearing change, fearing having hard conversations is one reason therapists don't want to switch to talk about switching to intensives. Another reason is they're afraid of terminating with clients, right? This has some stuff in common with the fear of hard conversations in general, right? A really hard conversation is telling the client that the relationship has to end and then providing a healthy and ethical process of termination. That's a hard conversation, right? We care deeply for our clients. We care deeply for the unique and intimate relationships we have with them. And it can feel really, really hard to say goodbye. But moving into a practice model that's more supportive of us, that is necessary for us to be well, that allows us to do our best clinical work and not compromise how we can be present for our clients, all of that is excellent modeling for our clients of how best to care for themselves too. I also think, you know, when we're fearing terminating with clients, there's some codependency that can be there, right? We can get into a bit of a codependent relationship with clients. Like we feel like we're indispensable to them, right? Like they need us and we don't want to let them go. What will happen if they're not working with us, right? Sometimes we keep clients on our caseload for longer than we should for many reasons. Because we enjoy them, right? Because they aren't as draining as other clients maybe. Because they don't want to leave. Because the money is good, maybe all of the above. But shouldn't we keep clients only when it's clinically appropriate? Not because we like them. Intensives mean that you have a limited amount of time with a client and then a healthy termination is baked in, right? Takes away so much of that potential for codependency. Something else that I feel like therapists are actually afraid of is moving into a model of therapy that feels unfamiliar, intensives I mean, and potentially wrong. Like it's not the norm. Maybe they're afraid that others won't approve, right? Intensives are not the model of therapy that we were taught in grad school, right? And so all of us who tend to want to be the good therapist and not make waves, this can feel uncomfortable to do something different. But, you know, why shouldn't models of therapy change? Why shouldn't people get different services that work for them? And the research on intensives is incredibly positive, right? And the outcomes speak for themselves. Like, intensives work, and we should offer them. You know, I think another thing is that therapists worry that they won't know what to do, right? That they won't feel competent, right? You know, that's sort of similar to moving into this, you know, related to this moving into an unfamiliar model, right? Again, we were taught the hourly model in therapy. Even though, you know, Freud and the psychoanalysts, classic model psychoanalysts, don't follow the once a week 50 minute hour. But of course, you know, due to how insurance works and stuff, that's the model we've all fallen into. And isn't that kind of icky that, like, unethical insurance companies dictate how we should practice? Like, how did they get to decide that? But anyway, and I love that about intensives, because insurance doesn't cover them, so you don't have to worry about what they want at all. Like, it feels like kind of like an FU to insurance. Like, I'm going to do what I think is best for clients, not what you think is best for clients. So yeah, therapists worry in this new model that they won't know what to do, that they won't feel competent, right? You can learn exactly what to do, okay? Part of what I teach in my VIP day is my exact structure for an intensive, both in terms of time and in terms of clinical structure, like how I structure them clinically. And you get great results and you feel confident in delivering the service when you have that model. And of course, you can change it, but I think it can feel good to have someone else who's done it before say, hey, this is what I do. It works. You can try it on, see if it feels comfortable. Obviously change it if you want to, but you know, here's something to try that's been working. You don't have to go into this blind, right? It's not just like, I offer intensives, now what, right? I think something else therapists are afraid of when they say that they're worried about losing clients if they offer intensives is then they'll have to market more again, and they might have to market differently, right? When clients terminate, it means we need more clients, right? And when we're selling a high-value service, it means we might need different kinds of clients. We have to market differently, okay? And if there's one thing a lot of therapists really don't like to do, it's market, right? And market high-value services. We don't like to do that. So terminating with clients and then offering a new service that requires a different kind of marketing feels scary. It's vulnerable, right? It can feel like, what do I need to do differently? How will it be received? Like, are people gonna still like me when I do this new thing, right? And guess what? Of course we cover this in my VIP day. I got you. We'll talk all about marketing and how you can market intensive specifically. So it's not something that you have to do, you have to figure out on your own, right? So that's some of the fears that I actually think are behind this, you know, I'm afraid I'll lose clients when I start offering intensives in my practice. So let me talk a little bit now about how the switch went for me. And I've talked about a lot of this before, but you know, one thing I know about podcasts, and you guys probably know this if you listen to them, they tend to repeat things at times. That's fine. So I would say for me, the switch to intensive started about 2 years ago. I was hearing more about them. I started reading more about them. I was talking to other therapists who were doing them, and I was just getting very excited about the idea, and it felt intimidating. I was like, how do I get there? I don't know what to do. So I did what therapists love to do. I got more training, and I joined a 9-month consultation group to support me as I started the transition. That's with Cambria Evans. It's called Zero Disturbance is her company, her consultation and business training EMDR therapist company. It was great, and I met great colleagues. So I started that in September of 2022. And September of 2022 was also a really big transition time for me in my family life. And that's really what pushed me into intensives full time. And it was so fortuitous, not an accident at all, of course, but like it aligned. And at the time, maybe I didn't realize how not accidental it was. You know, I really needed to know about intensives at this time in my life because I was sort of forced into making big changes in my practice. So my oldest daughter, she's now halfway through first grade. September of 2022, she was starting kindergarten. And she has always had developmental challenges. She struggled a ton with sleep, so much. Oh my gosh, I like barely slept the first 4 years of her life. She nursed for a really long time, and that was really hard to get her to wean. It was a long process. She still hasn't given up her pacifier. I would say that is a way that she stims because she now has an autism diagnosis, so it makes sense, right? And I feel like when I say that to people, it depathologizes it a little bit. They're like, oh, it's okay if she has a pacifier, to which I say, you know, we just don't know what any child is dealing with, and so it's not up to us to judge, oh, that child is too old for X. We don't know anything about that child's life or the family's life, but that's just an aside. Anyway, so she gets really dysregulated. That's improved a lot, but still. So I was starting to suspect sensory processing issues. We didn't get the autism diagnosis until actually earlier this fall. So I wasn't even thinking necessarily through the autism lens at this time, but she had really significant sensory processing issues. And potty training was a huge challenge, right? She was getting ready to start kindergarten, and she turned 6 at the end of August 2022. So she was actually 6 going into kindergarten. We could have put her in a year earlier, but because of her kind of developmental challenges and also because of COVID, like, we just felt like she wasn't ready. But we were sure we'd get her potty trained before she started kindergarten. Guess what? Nope. We tried all the tricks, all the tools, all the consultants, all the therapists, and nothing was budging. I was starting to panic. Okay. And imagine, I'm sure some of you parents can imagine how awful I felt as a parent. Like, I felt like such a failure as a mom. Like, how could my kid be starting kindergarten and not be potty trained? Everyone's going to think I am just a neglectful parent, a terrible parent. I've let my child down. You know, these, of course, were all things I felt about myself that I was projecting onto others. But still, it was really hard. And who knows? Maybe some people do think that. Oh, well. But yeah, so she started kindergarten. She got an IEP. We didn't officially get the autism diagnosis until this fall, but we were already talking about it with the school. So all of this meant that I needed to be more present for her. She was having a lot of appointments. She was having to be picked up from school early at times because of various things happening. And it was taking a big toll on me, actually. You know, the bulk of dealing with all of this was falling on me, whether it was medical appointments, school communication, picking her up. I was having to cancel sessions with clients a lot because of all this. So I was feeling really overwhelmed. And I was also starting to worry about, like, how repeated cancellations were going to affect my caseload. Were they going to be like, I need to work with somebody else. You're not available. And, you know, maybe I wasn't going to be able to be available. And what would that mean, right? I was starting to grapple with that. So I just knew I had to do something. I was burning out, and it was affecting my entire family. My kid needed me, and I didn't have the resources to be there for her because I was so overstretched. My body was telling me it was not okay. I was starting to have trouble sleeping, having really bad insomnia. I was having panic attacks, which I haven't had in years and years. Like, my heart was racing and I couldn't get it to stop. I knew things were not good. So I decided to take a month off from seeing clients. I needed time to think about what needed to shift. I needed a break. I needed a reset. And I also needed to spend some time figuring out how much support my daughter needed from me in that time. So I came back from that month break, and that's when I started telling clients that my focus was going to start to shift to intensives, right? I just could not have 20 plus individual clients a week. Like, it just was not working for my life, and I couldn't provide those clients the service they deserve. It was a lot easier to reschedule 2 or 3 people in a week than 20 if I had everything fall apart. So I started offering EMDR intensives to every new client who reached out, and also to the clients I already had. But, you know, and I was worried about lost income, right? I had my 20 plus hours a week of intensive clients, and then, you know, I needed to make up for that. So I had to start charging more for intensives because it wasn't going to be 20 hours. I couldn't do 20 hours anymore. I also had to decide no more clients after the 4 p.m. slot. I had been seeing clients at 5 and 6 p.m. and it wasn't okay when I was doing it, but it really wasn't okay now, and I had to stop. And that felt hard to tell clients because I have a client, you know, who wouldn't get home from work until 4:45 and all that stuff. And guess what? She figured it out. But anyway, to be honest, I was shocked. I was so afraid about making this change. I was so afraid to tell people. But most of my clients were willing to give intensives a try, or, like, you know, a longer session, right? Once people tried them, they liked them. People were responding really well clinically, too. They were willing to see me less frequently and pay for the longer sessions. I was feeling so much more in control of my life and my time, my financial resources, my energy. I needed that change, right? I lost a couple clients, but just a couple. That's it. Most were willing to at least try an intensive format, right? They loved them. You know, they liked, like, when I said intensive format, for most of my current clients, what they did was move to something like a 2 to 3 hour session once a month instead of 4 50-minute sessions. And then with new clients, I had a more like longer intensive model, like 15 hours and then, you know, you terminate, right? But the clients that switched, my current clients who switched to the like more intensive format once a month, they loved them, right? They loved having to only schedule time for therapy once a month, right? And they loved getting the same, if not better, results in one session, okay? It was obviously a learning process for me. It was gradual. I didn't automatically switch everyone. But over time, I moved my practice to something that fit me so much better. I did keep a few clients as hourly that I felt were our best fit for hourly, and I felt committed to the relationship. Like, there were some exceptions, of course, and that's going to be true for every practice. But everyone else either transitioned to intensives or I referred them out. Honestly, if you have a good script for how to explain and talk about intensives, people will get it, okay? People will understand why it's valuable. But it's really helpful to have a script, which, again, part of the VIP day, you can use my script so that you don't feel like you're like stumbling over your words, trying to figure out how to make an intensive understandable and appealing, right? So again, about the VIP day, one of the things we do in that VIP day is come up with a unique plan for you to implement these changes, okay, in your practice. Your practice is unique. You are unique. You need your own unique plan, not something cookie cutter, okay? We'll go through your client list. We'll decide how to handle each client, how to talk to them about intensives, how to set up, like, keeping you accountable for, like, when are you going to talk to this person? When are you going to talk to that person, okay? We'll talk about how to structure your weekly and monthly schedule so that, you know, over the course of a few months to a year, you've implemented that ideal schedule, right? You'll get access to all of my clinical tools for intensives, all the things I use, all my paperwork, all the, you know, the workbook I use. We'll work on your website and your marketing. We'll talk social media. We'll talk referrals, okay? We'll get you ready to be an EMDR intensives guru in a single day. We can do it. I've done it with others, and it's worked for them, and I can do it with you. And I have a couple of slots left for the spring, so if you're interested, let me know. Okay, so in today's episode, we discussed the fear that therapists have about changing their practice to an intensives practice, that fear that they will lose all their clients and then not be able to replace their income. So I shared my own perspective on the things I think that are really behind this fear. I shared my own experience with what happened when I made the change, and I shared how I can help you make this change with my VIP day. So if any of this is of interest to you, please reach out to me. You can follow me on Instagram at Future Template Parent. You can check out my website, www.futuretemplateparent.com, if you haven't already, to get all the updates on my offerings, to get general intensive support. So yeah, have a great week, everyone. Thank you for listening, and I will talk to you next week. Bye, take care.
Thank you for listening to the Future Template Parent podcast. I hope you've learned something that can help you move from feeling overwhelmed to energized about your practice and your personal life. You don't have to choose one over the other. If you've enjoyed this episode, please take a moment to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts, and please share it with another EMDR therapist who would benefit from hearing this episode. Each review helps us get the message out about how offering EMDR intensives can liberate your practice. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast listening app so you don't miss a single episode. See you next week.